You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Tonight is a special night. It's an exciting night, and I could tell you guys are ready for it because we have our Emerge Takeover. We have three incredible men that are going to bring amazing messages, a 3x10 with some powerhouses. And I'm going to just kind of announce them right now in the at the get-go, and then they're just going to kind of come up rapid fire. But I want you to lean in tonight and receive all that they're going to be sharing with you. Our first amazing preacher is Mr. Dan McCutcheon. His wife is his biggest cheerleader. Beautiful wife, gorgeous son, transformed in this house. I can't wait for you to share your testimony. And he keeps us safe on the security team. He co-leads an amazing connect group. He's just he's a volunteer in this house. You're an incredible man of God, Dan. And I can't wait to hear from you. Our second minister tonight is Mr. Corey Withrow. Sitting next to him is his gorgeous bride. They have like 17 children or something. Corey, he used to play in the NFL, and he destroyed some enemies on the field. But I'm telling you, this man is going to destroy the works of the devil. And then we have the incredibly large and strong and amazing man, Mr. Jeff Forbes. Leader of our Men's Emerge Ministry, gorgeous wife, Glory, Freedom, and Justice are his children's names. He's such an American. So, you know what? I think we need to stand to our feet as we welcome up the first man of God, Mr. Dan McCutcheon.
Wow, 5 p.m. I heard it gets a little crazy up here, but come on. Well, listen, they've only given me about 10 minutes to cover about 44 years of a journey, so strap on your seatbelts, people. We're going for a ride, right? Before I do, though, I just have to give honor and thanks to Pastor Jurgen and Leanne for the courage and the confidence that they had to come all the way across the water and plant this church here. Because if it wasn't for them doing that, none of us would be here today. What I love about this church so much is the fact that it's leaders raising up other leaders. And so they've raised up Pastor John and Pastor Becky, and they've just become such leaders of this campus. And Pastor Becky, thank you so much for everything that you've done for my wife and I. We love you, we honor you, and we're blessed to call you not only our pastors, but our friends. Now, this message tonight hopefully is for everybody in this room, but especially for maybe some folks that may be sitting a little bit further back in the room, maybe sitting in a corner by themselves, somebody that obviously I have a couple of friends here, but this message, I hope it resonates with somebody that I don't know, that I haven't met yet, that may have had some of the same struggles that I've had in my life for a long time, and that's with confidence. And I think a lot of us, even in this room, no matter what season we're in, have struggled with confidence at some point in our life. And so I just want to thank our pastors. Thank you guys for giving me the opportunity. And just before I get going, Rachel, can you stand up? I just need to thank and honor you for being such an amazing wife, such an amazing mother. I waited over 40 years for you, and you were the best gift that I ever had. And Daxton's number two. I love you. All right, guys, so listen. My story starts a little further back than 40 years ago. In the early 1970s, my father, who wasn't really a believer but always questioned about a God but never really went to church, got divorced and won custody of 5 kids. Wow. And then he met my mom. Now, my mom, Italian, super duper Catholic. Like, I have pictures of my mom with the Pope and my grandparents, and yeah, it was real, Quattro. So when they went to get married, when they went to the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church wouldn't marry them because my dad had been divorced. And this really, really hurt my mom. So they went on, they got married, they had me, but I wasn't really raised in church. So we'll fast forward to the early 2000s. I was in my mid-20s. Life for me was amazing. I was on top of the world. I had a great IT job. I was making great money. I was doing Department of Defense contracting. People used to ask me all the time. I carried a secret security clearance. They used to say, well, what'd you do for a living? Well, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. And apparently that's not too Christian. So I just tell people that I saved the world. So life was good, money was good, and I was doing some business, another business with some guys and some music stuff, and one of the guys that we got associated with had a lot of money, and he was getting it through real estate. And so I essentially asked him, will you mentor me and show me how to do this? I want to own some rental properties because real estate's the best thing. And he says, sure. I go home and I tell my dad, because my dad's my best friend in the world. I tell my dad about it, and he says, hey, I'm retired. I'd like to have some extra income coming in. Let's do it together. So we end up buying, and I use the term houses loosely, we bought 5 houses, it was really 5 dumps. If anybody ever seen the horror movie Saw? Could have filmed the whole series in our basements. And we didn't know the business, we didn't know how it worked, so the guy pulls out all the money from flipping the houses to us, and within about a month or two, he's nowhere to be found. So now my dad and I are stuck with these 5 dumps. I have 5 mortgages to pay. My dad's retired. Thank God I got paid hourly, so I was working 16 to 18 hour days just to try and stop the bleeding. So go fast forward 2 short years. I went from having about $100,000 in the bank to over $100,000 in debt. But what was harder for me wasn't what I lost. I was in my 20s. I'll make it back, you know? But it was what happened to my father. He lost his whole entire retirement. And so my dad, who worked all of his life to care for us kids, took care of me, my mom, all my brothers and sisters. I didn't have college bills or any of that. Now I was broke and virtually bankrupt. And I went through some very, very dark times. Depression, anxiety, addiction to ecstasy pills. I was doing anything I could to just try and not be in that space anymore. And that really brings me to the title of my message today, which is called borrowed confidence. See, in that struggle, I didn't have Jesus in my life at the time. So all I had were other friends and other men to try and borrow my confidence from. One of them was one of my best friends. He was like a brother to me. We did all kinds of things together. And he was a very confident guy. Some people would even say overconfident. So I latched onto that and I used to borrow my confidence from him. But, you know, as most men in this room know, if you're around other men and confidence is an issue, you tend to wear a mask if you're struggling with your own self-confidence. Because you're too intimidated to be less of a man in front of these other men. So I wore this mask around friends, around family, around everybody, and my depression, my anxiety, everything just got worse and worse and worse to the point where I actually went and sought help. I said, there's got to be a better solution. This isn't working. My life is, I'm broken. So I went to see a psychiatrist, and I was like, this guy's a professional, this should help. I'm all cutting out like 3 hours of my day because I'm gonna be on a couch for a little while talking about life. And I literally sat in that chair in his office, and I was about 5 minutes into what I had to say, and he was like, I know what's wrong with you. You're depressed. And I'm looking at all these diplomas on his wall, I'm like, damn, you went to school for all that to tell me that? Wow. Okay, cool, I'm depressed. And so he pulls out his little pad and he writes me a prescription. Now, for somebody who struggled with an addiction before, now turned into another pill, I was a little leery, but he's a doctor. This should be the right thing for me to do. So he writes me my first prescription for Wellbutrin. So now I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I'm not quite as moody, but now I can't focus on anything. Can't talk to my friends about it. I'm too embarrassed to tell them I'm taking antidepressants. So I go back to the doctor. And within 2 minutes this time, he says, oh, it's because you have ADD. I was like, damn, I do. I didn't even know. That explains everything. And he wrote me another prescription. This time for Adderall. I wish he wrote me a prescription for Jesus Quattro, but it was for Adderall. For those of you that don't know, Adderall is an amphetamine. So what some people pay somebody on a street corner to jab a needle in their arm, this guy has a legal prescription pad to write it and feed it to us. So now I go home. I don't feel so bad. I'm getting a lot of things done really, really fast. Woo! I don't even know why I took the remote control apart 5 times. But now I'm starting to have anxiety. So I go back. I'm like, Doc, things better, but I'm getting a lot done, but I'm freaking out. He says, oh, it's because you have anxiety. Oh, I do. Okay. So he prescribes me Xanax. Then after that, I couldn't sleep. So what did I do? I went back and he wrote me a prescription for Ambien. So for a few years, I was on this 4-pill cocktail and I literally became a zombie. And I got to the point one day where I hated myself so much than even before. I hated myself so much when I looked in the mirror, I flushed everything down the toilet. And I started to invest in myself in personal development and getting coaches and mentors. And I bought every book that John Maxwell, I knew about him before Jesus because he wrote all the leadership books. And so fast forward to 2016, I'm now married. And she's hot. And we're not living in San Diego. And we'd been here only a few months, and I traveled a lot on the weekends, and typically like 2, 3, 4 weekends a month, I'd be on the road sometimes. And so one weekend I was home, and Rachel says to me, she said, hey, I want us to go to church. Yeah, great woman. What do you think my reaction was? Okay. So we go, and then, you know how C3 is, a bunch of happy people. When you come in, it's like a Justin Bieber concert, and... But Pastor Juergen's message that day, it was as if nobody else was in the room but me and Pastor Juergen. And it was weird. I was like, did somebody bring cats in here? Is it dusty? Why are my eyes watering? I don't know what's going on. And it was a couple of weeks later that my buddy Jeff Rakowski invited me to go to Emerge. And I accepted the invitation. I had seen the videos. I was a little bit intimidated, but I accepted the invitation and I went. And that Thursday night at Emerge, my life was changed forever. See, hold on, folks. I only got a couple minutes here. I got to get through a lot of quick fast. So Pastor Juergen had a message called King Speak. And in that message, he had a line that said, you don't know who you are until you know whose you are. And that resonated with me more than any self-help pitch I had ever heard before. And as we were sitting around that campfire that night, I'm pretty much about 40 strangers. I didn't know most of these guys. We're sitting around that campfire, and I'm like, man, this is a good group of men. And I shared around that campfire that my wife and I were pregnant, expecting our first child, and I hadn't even told my parents yet. So that Saturday, March 25th, 2017, I gave my life to Christ. And what I started to do was I started to borrow my confidence from a different source. So I'm gonna tell you why this is important, because this past July, just because you get saved or you find Christ, it doesn't mean life's always easy and you're not gonna go through your challenges and seasons. This past July, went through a situation even worse than what happened to me back in 2001, 2002. See, now I'm out in San Diego working on building some businesses and income out here, but my sole source of income came from business I did back on the East Coast with my friends. Well, in a nutshell, I don't have time to tell the whole story, but they cut me out of the business. So in a moment, all of my income went away. And what's harder now is I'm a father. I'm a husband. I have more responsibilities. And the biggest difference between before when it happened and now when it happened was, remember I told you I used to borrow my confidence from another man? That was the man that stabbed me in the back. That was the man that cut me out of this business. So what was different for me this time, and why do I walk with my head held high today and stand on this stage talking to every man in this room today? Because I don't borrow my confidence from another man anymore. I borrow my confidence from God. See, the Bible says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with the thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all, not some, all, not a little bit, all understanding, will guard your hearts and the minds of Christ Jesus. So I very much have people in my life today that speak life into me. We call them our we friends, right? You may have heard my good friend Jeff Forbes preach that message a few months ago, and if you haven't heard it, go back and stream it. It's very, very powerful. I now have we friends in this church. I have men that speak life to me in this church. They don't give me all my confidence, but they speak life to me in this church. I have my Jeff Forbes. I have my Pastor Toms. I have my Charles Fullers. that will call me and send me the text message, and they know what I'm talking about. Denny's, 10 minutes. Go listen to the message and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Denny's 10 minutes and you know you're having a deep conversation with some men that care about you. And one thing I want to leave you guys with, something practical, especially the people that may be struggling. Pastor Tom shared something with me that I believe he got from either Pastor Becky or Pastor Leanne, but in his phone he has a pop-up reminder. And about every hour or so he has a verse that comes up. So he says, grab about a dozen verses that mean something to you. Put them in your phone. So from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day, I'll get a random word. Wow. Now, I put these words in there in the order, but God's funny because I swear he doesn't give them to me in the order I put them in there. He gives me the word I need when it's time for me to have it. So listen, every single one of us has struggled. Every single one of us has had confidence issues in our life. Man, woman, black, white, big, small, tall, and large. We all go through the same struggles. I just encourage you, lean into the greatest source of confidence in the universe, and that's God. And for all of you that are big in the personal development world and you're buying all these books, I can save you probably hundreds, thousands of dollars. Just go pick up one book. It's called The Bible. It'll solve everything. I want to bring to the stage the champ, not the one-time champ, but the champ, Mr. Corey Withrow.
Great job.
Come on, man. Let's give it up for Dan. What? Hey, he kept it real too, didn't he? Dre, you drop a couple dams on us and everything, man. You just kept it real. How amazing. Wow. Hey, Morgan, too, what an amazing word, man. And how great is it that we go to a church that is filled with a bunch of contributors, not the consumers, right? Right? Sometimes that's a statement in our house. We do have 7 kids. It feels like 17 at times, but I mean, it's a hotel Withrow sometimes. Like, you can be a bunch of consumers around this bad boy. But how about contributing? The garbage needs to be taken out and all sorts of stuff. The worship team, come on, can we give it up for the worship team, dude? Oh my gosh, they brought heaven to earth. Fantastic. Oh, Gussie. Wow. Chels, good to see you too. Amazing job, Paul. You got a guy who plays keys, he'll snap kick somebody real quick, won't he? Jeez Louise, I thought someone singing here was about to get it. You know, I mean, honestly, such an honor, Pastor Becky. Pastor Yuri and Leanne, they're not here. Pastor John, I know you're listening to me, bud. I love you, man. That's not cameras not on, is it? I just pointed to you. Oh, it is? Oh, cool. You know what? It's an honor. It's such an honor to be here with all you guys. It really is. And I just am super excited. Doing this, when they asked me to do this, it really brought me back to my playing days. I don't know. She did mention that I did play a little bit of foosball. Took a couple to the head a little bit, but it reminded me of my preparation, because it wasn't. It's funny because you guys see the Sunday and you don't get to see the Monday through Saturday, and it really got me back. And I was just like, holy criminitly, my blood was pumping and I'm feeling good. I wanted to headbutt somebody, and I didn't in the name of Jesus. But anyway. Can we please move on here? Mark, let's move on. Listen, my message today is who's got your rope, right? And it comes out of Acts 9:25, and we got that, Rubes? And boom. So it says, so during the night, some of the other believers, because they believers. Oh, this is so sweet, man, contributors. Lowered him in a large basket through an opening in a city wall. So, as you guys know, I won this thing 2 times, and I say I, and I didn't have anything to do with it, but we won Emerge twice. And as I look back on that whole experience, the first year we won it, it was all about, I gotta win this thing, right? People say you can't do it, you're doing against all these guys, you can't do it. And I was so consumed, as Pastor Andre tells us, there's 3.5 hours of Emerge. 3.5 hours are the events. It's 29 hours long. And I was so consumed, and I had my son, he was out like on recon, and then we had Bob Howes up on the mountain praying for us, and we had Eric. I'm not kidding, man. We were doing it. You know, Eric and I were like, where's Bob? Eric sent him up on the mountain. He sent him up there. He's praying for us and just bringing just life to the squad. You know, I did a really good job of, when I say, I didn't do anything. I just asked the guy who got second place the year before if he wanted to be on our team, and he brought his whole team, and I'm like, "That's we just won. That's cool." But my consumption was, gosh dang it, that trophy would be sick to have. I want that daggum trophy. And I hate to lose. And I mean, a lot of people love to win, but I hate to lose. And if you're ever behind me when I'm driving, Lord, forgive me. I feel like traffic's of the devil. And as Pastor Leanne says, I only swear for emphasis. And I'm so glad I don't have a microphone in my car. But anyway, and so we won it, and it was awesome, and it was crazy, and it was great, and I was thankful, and I was so thankful. But coming into year two, we had been meeting at that point for about 3 years as a group of dudes. Sorry, I'm a little thirsty. Yep, thanks. I'm spilling. Sorry, I'm a meathead. I still got that meathead in me, you know? But my heart changed, and we get the team, and I was getting kind of pressure. It's like, hey, you haven't gotten your team filled. I'm like, it's going to get filled. You got to get, and so I'm like, okay, it's going to get filled. And my mind immediately switched back to when I was a kid, and it wasn't about the trophy. It was about, we're blessed with 40 guys that we have to like say, hey. And so I just wanted to be a believer that could hold someone's rope. Because the one that they were holding was Saul. And Saul, when his feet hit the ground, he changed the whole face of Christianity. It unlocked his whole destiny. But it doesn't mention about the guys who did it. It was just a bunch of believers. Nobody cared. But it was the believers that made it happen. It made it possible, right? Right? It's so funny because, I mean, and football has kind of been like my deal, right? You're a football player and you do this. And I'm like, I guess. I mean, I look sweet in my pants. Come on, Dre. Good game. Hey, listen, but it wasn't always like that. It was a tough road, man. I was a walk-on in college, and I was in college, and I was coming home, and I was a mess. I was a failure because I didn't get my scholarship in the first semester, and I'm literally getting the crud kicked out of me every practice. And I went from being like a really, really good high school football player to nobody. We had our own locker room. We had like a walk-on locker room. And I just come home. I'm like, I'm done. I'm out. I'm done with this. I don't want to be here. I don't want to go. I failed. And my mom walks by. And she kind of gives me a flyby rope to hold. She's like, hey, she's going to work, and I'm just like probably coming home from partying. And I was 18. I wasn't coming home from partying, probably not. And she's just like, hey, you should read this article about this Christian football player. And I'm like, Mom, they don't exist. I've been there for a semester. They don't exist. She's like, no, just take it out. And she just kind of threw it at me and just kept walking. So I read it, and I'm like, whoa, this Dennis Byrd dude. He not only is he a bad dude, but he loves Jesus. And I'm reading it, and I'm going by the book, and it's so funny because I didn't like leave that week. I read the book. I'm like, all right, you know, I'll give it a shot. I'll give it one more try. I go back the very next day in the weight room. I meet this one Christian guy. He's like, hey, you should come to FCA. And I'm like, I've been to FCA in high school. I'd go there to check out the chicks, and you know, they were athletic and they were moral, so they're pretty cool to be around. Babe, come back to that. Anyway, so I read this book. I go back and I meet him, and wouldn't you know it, so I go to FCA, and the first night, and I was a super comfortable Christian. I was raised Irish Catholic, so we like to drink and fight a lot, and confess about it on Sundays, and so we go there, and I'm like, oh, I'm just super comfortable. I like where I'm at. And they're like, hey, we got to 2 hours of prayer. I'm like, 2 hours of what? I can say Our Father in like 10 seconds. We don't need no dang 2 hours. But it goes and it just completely unlocks my life. And if she wouldn't have given me the drive-by like bungee cord, I had to grab it. You guys, we have to grab it, right? We have to grab it. So and I know that this is, as Pastor Dana was talking about, the Unlock Your Heart series. Man, my heart is so much for, I just want to be a believer that can hold a rope, right? I mean, and I got some time, dang, don't I? Let me just finish with this. This is going to be perfect. So, hey, did I just give myself love? I didn't even know. We can't do that on stage. Anyway, so, but check, this is what I love so much about this right here, right? Because they were chasing him because he was changing people's lives, right? They wanted him dead. There were people at the gates. They were looking for him. He's hiding out. But when he gets a chance to preach, he's changing people's lives, right? Well, in 928, we got that one, Rubes? How cool is Reuben, by the way? He's amazing. Love Reuben. So check this out. So he gets hits the ground. He goes back to his place. And it says in 28, it says, so Saul, say Saul.
Saul.
Stayed with the apostles and went around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. There it is. He debated with some Greek-speaking Jews. I don't know why that's in here, but it's pretty cool. But they tried to murder him. Wow. And then check this out. In 31, we're going to skip because we'll go to 31. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. And it came stronger in the believers, lived in the fear of the Lord, and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, because there's power there now, it also grew in numbers. But you know, it's awesome. Okay, peace in this thing. But here's the great thing, guys. If you don't have anybody when I say who's got your rope, I mean, just think about in your lives, how many people in your lives and how many times have you like, oh man, I am so thankful for those guys. I'm so thankful for guys in this and girls in this thing. I'm so thankful for them. I'm thankful for Christian who hangs out with my kids, all 56 of them. Number grew while I was up here. It's amazing. And he brings life to him. I mean, just so thankful and just so like, oh my gosh, all these people around, right? And I want you to really think about like, man, how grateful can we be with these people that surround our lives, right? But here's the great thing. Let's say you don't. Let's say, man, I'm surrounded right now and I'm not ready. But check this out. If you go back to 28, who's it say is doing this? Saul. He doesn't even mention the name of Paul until Acts 13. So check this out. We serve a God of our victories as Paul. We serve a God of our mistakes as Saul. It doesn't matter. We can still move in whatever direction that we're at, right? We can move in failure. We can move in victory. We can move in stumbling blocks. We can move all around. We don't have to wait because we can make peace all through the land, right? So I just want to leave you with this. Can we do this? I'm a big team guy, guys. I'm sorry, I am. And I've got some space over here. But this is what I want to do. I want to cheer. No, can we stand up? And can we lock hands, please? Because when I was a kid, yep, Andre, grab some hands, big dog. When I was a kid, we used to play this game called Red Rover. All good, we got some 43-somethings in this bad boy, right? Yeah, we didn't have iPads. Let's see who we could clothesline, right? I want to see who could get clothesline. But guess what we're doing right now? We're locked in. Our hands are not held just by fingers, but they're held by the Holy Spirit. And we're saying, Red Rover, devil, come on over. And we're going to clothesline him right now because we can't do it by ourselves, guys. Well, you can't live by yourselves. Like, we can't do it, so we got to do it together as a one body, right? If I can pray for you all real quick. And listen, if you're in that space, you're going to get an opportunity to just to release it right now. Set yourself free. But Heavenly Father, I just come before you right now, Lord, and I just thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you that we can be there for one another. Lord, that you've called us to be my brother's keeper, my sister's keeper. Lord, we called us to be together. So Lord, I just thank you as we're holding hands, Lord, that the bonds and the Holy Spirit comes and drops right now on these people, Lord Jesus, it opens their eyes. We just thank you. We love you. Amen. Hallelujah. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the main event. The main event. Here he comes. Give it to him now. Hallelujah.
Man, oh man. I had to follow Morgan. I had to follow Coco Dan. And I had to follow Corey, you're awesome. You know, but we're in that Check Your Heart series, and so I'm an Old Testament dude. Like, I like to preach the Old Testament because there's, like, weird stuff in the Old Testament. I sort of vibe with it. I'm like, oh, that's awkward. Woo, let's go. It's my thing. I'm like, that's strange, but cool. And so I'm going to talk about Moses for, like, 10 minutes because, like, Moses is, like, God's dude. Like, God's like, yo, I'm going to send you into Egypt, and you're going to stand in front of Pharaoh, and you're going to make sure that the Israelites come on out there. That's your job. Like, that's your job. I knew it since before you were born. I knew it. And I love that. Because if you think about Moses' life, Moses was put in a basket on the Nile River and floated down the river. Now, God's hand had to be on Moses because I watched the Discovery Channel and Nile crocs are big. And a baby Moses, he looks like dinner. He looks like dinner, I'm telling y'all. And so Moses, God's hand's on Moses the whole time. We all know the story. We know the story. So Moses goes into Egypt and he stands before Pharaoh and he's like, yo, we're leaving. Pharaoh, no, you're not. Yo, we're leaving. No, you're not. We know the story, 10 plagues, boom, we're leaving Egypt. Yeah. We're leaving Egypt. And I love it. I love it because, like, we run an Emerge conference of like 1,000 dudes, 2,000 this year, and that's like a logistics nightmare. And so can you imagine Moses being like, 600,000 men were leaving. They didn't count the women and children. So Moses has done some work, y'all. He's done some work. There's like 1 million plus. He's like, yo, we're going. Can you imagine that? I took my family to Big Bear last weekend. There's 4 of us, y'all. It was a logistics nightmare. I can't imagine 1 million. I need an honest amen right now. I need an honest amen. I'm like, you're supposed to get the socks. No, I'm supposed to get the socks. No, you're supposed to get the socks. But can you imagine, like, yo, are you packing the cart? Am I packing the cart? Yo, we bring in that vase. How are we going to get water? How are we going to get water? And you know the wife was just standing there like this, dude. I'm just being real with y'all. So like I said, Moses is that dude. He's God's chosen. He's God's chosen. But Moses, like us, like many of us, I know we're all saved and sanctified, set free, but like many of us, Moses had some heart issues. Like, why are you getting so mad, homie? Why are you getting so mad? Moses goes up and God gives him the tablets and he slams them down because he's mad at the Israelites. I'm be real with y'all. If God writes on a paper towel and gives it to me, y'all gonna know about it. Y'all gonna come to my house and it's gonna be right in the middle of the room with cameras and lights and a security code. They're gonna be like, that ain't feng shui. I'm like, I know, that's foreign God. I ain't never gonna get that mad. So like I said, I know. So Moses is God's chosen, but he's got heart issues. We find out in Exodus, yo, he killed a man. He's angry, super angry. I'm like, yo, bro, chill. I can say that because I used to have an anger issue. So I know, yo, dog, chill. It ain't that serious. And so I love this. I love this in Numbers 20, 8 through 12. You know, Moses, he's with the Israelites. And you know, on a road trip, somebody's going to complain. But Moses has a whole nation complaining. They're all complaining. We should have stayed in Egypt. Yo, Moses, are you really that dude? And so Moses has a moment of weakness or a moment that changes everything because in a moment of anger, it says in Numbers 20, 10 through 12, or actually Numbers 20, 8 through 12, God tells him, He says, Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it'll pour out water. You'll bring water out in the rock of the rock for the community and their livestock and drink. So what does Moses do? Moses takes the staff of the Lord's presence just as he commanded him. He took Aaron, gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said, listen, you rebels. I wanted to call my kids rebels on a road trip before, just real. Listen, rebels. Must we bring you water out of the rock? Then Moses raised his arms and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank, but Moses made a fatal mistake. And then in verse 12 it says, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me in me enough to honor me as holy in sight of the Israelites, you will not bring them into the land I've given you. Wow. Now, so Moses, he's done all this work. He's God's chosen. He has been there through signs and wonders. He's been there. He knows God is going to make it happen. He knows. He's seen it. He was there at Passover. Man, he was one of the ones that killed the lamb, put the blood on the door. He knows it's real. Even when this happens, he knows it's real. But he's got a heart issue. His instant heart issue is, I'm going to switch to anger. And I know this too well because there's been times where I've flown off the handle for issues. Y'all be like, man, this dude is tripping. I'm being honest. Some of y'all have seen it. If you ever been to Emerge like 3 years ago, you probably got yelled at by me. Just being real. I mean, y'all want to be real. Let's be real. And so God gave Moses this word. You're the dude that's going to bring these people into the promised land. You're this dude. And now in a heart issue, in a moment of anger, God's like, you're not that dude no more. And so my question tonight is, what heart issue are you dealing with tonight that's stopping you from getting to the promised land? And we all get words from God all the time, and you're waiting for that word to come to fruition. You're just praying and believing, but God's trying to deal with some heart issues. And like I said, I know we're all saved and sanctified. We've all been set free. But I'm going to talk about some heart issues that if any of these resonate, just give me a mm. Egotism. Pride. Dealt with both. Been to counseling for both. Being driven for the wrong reasons. Are you being driven to accomplish this task because you want to have people glorify you? Been there, done that, check. Why are you doing things for the applause of man? And I can speak on it because I used to do everything. Hey, bro, just pat me on the back and tell me I'm great. Just tell me I'm great. You know, I used to hate when somebody would say, dude, you have a heart issue. I used to hate it. I used to be like, can you give me something different? Give me a quick fix. There's no quick fix for a heart issue. Because behind every heart issue, there's a root cause to that heart issue. And so you have to do a little self-reflection. You got to stand up there and look at yourself in the mirror and say, yo, what really is going on? Why do I not clap when that other person wins? Why can I not applaud somebody that works for me when they do a great job to the boss? That's a heart issue. If you can't clap when somebody else wins, you got a problem. You're not just a hater. You got a heart issue that you got to resolve. Knowing you have a heart issue, there's people here that you know you have a heart issue. Not dealing with that heart issue is sin management. That's not hellfire and brimstone, but I'm telling y'all, that's just sin management. You put on a good smile, you put on the great Instagram post, you know, you smile, you tell that person to their face, dude, congratulations, you just got that home. And then you turn around like, this dude, I worked 10 times harder than him. God, what's up? Been there, done that. Check. You know, the thing that bothers me the most about Moses' story, it bothers me the most because God gave him the word. God gave him the word. And then at the end, God takes him up to on the mountain and he says, look, dude, that's the promised land you were gonna get to. I don't want anybody in here to get to the end of their life and they stand before God and God says, hey, homie, this is what I had for you. Yo, dude, this is what I had for you. Had you just woken up? Yo, dude, this is the marriage I had for you. This is the house I had for you. This is the job I had for you. This is the ministry I have for you. Yo, had you just dealt with some issues, we could have done something because we know we partner with God on everything. Guess what? They said, I lead the men's ministry. No. We have a team. It's a partnership, everybody. And we partner with God, but it's not about me. It's about a stewardship. God wants to bless you because, for stewardship reasons. I'm going to tell you guys a story in closing. Tell you guys a little bit of a story. Some of you guys have heard it before. You all know I'm not from California. I talk about it a lot. I'm from Missouri. Well, I've got a little knucklehead brother. He's a knucklehead. He knows he's a knucklehead. I say it to his face, so I'm not talking about him bad right now. He knows. He doesn't listen. He's as stubborn as a rock. I'm like, dude, you definitely are related to me. I'm like, yeah, bro, we're related. He's only my half-brother, though, so he might have got something from somebody else. I don't know. But a while back, right before Gloria and I got married, he came to visit, and he's got a young wife. My brother's about 7 or 8 years younger than me. And he comes to visit, and he's like, yo, dude, let's go to the beach. Let's go to the beach. Me, I'm not an ocean dude. Before, I know y'all are thinking it, relax, I can swim. But... I can swim. I'm speaking that into fruition. I can swim. In Jesus' name, I can swim. And so my brother comes, and I'm not a beach person, so they're like, we're gonna go play in the water, okay? We're gonna go play in the water. And I'm like, I'm gonna sit on the beach. So Glory, his wife, and my little brother, they got in the ocean, and like I said, I don't know much about the ocean, but they get swept up in a rip current. And so I'm on the beach, and I'm sitting there, and I hear sirens, and I'm just like thumbing through my book. Wasn't the Bible, because I wasn't saved. It's something, who knows, Sports Illustrated, something, I don't know. I'm thumbing through my book, and like all of a sudden, I see footsteps, and lifeguard goes flying by, and then I hear the sirens again, and the pickup truck comes, and it's got the jet ski, and it does a quick U-turn, and you know, they go flying out into the water. And I had looked up a while back, and they were playing in front of me, but now they are way out there. They're way out there, and my sister-in-law is panicking. Glory is a swimmer, like she does ocean swims, like to buoy, but my sister-in-law is freaking out. She's clinging on to Glory for dear life, and Glory's like, I need you to calm down or we're both gonna not make it. We're both not gonna make it. And so Glory knows the routine, throw your hand up, lifeguard comes and swoops him up, comes and grabs him. Little brother, sister-in-law and my wife, they're good. They get taken back. My little brother, though, he's a little more hard-headed, a little stubborn. And so I can see him drowning. Like I can stand, where I'm standing, I went right to the edge of the water and I'm standing there. There's nothing I can do. They're too far away, but I can see my brother drowning. And my little brother, the lifeguard pulls it to my little brother. My little brother is hard-headed and stubborn, like I told y'all. And he's like, I got this. He's drowning. He's only got a few minutes. But my little brother's like, I got this. And this illustration, that's how we live. That's how some people in this room right now are. You are getting pummeled pummeled by waves in the ocean. You are getting pummeled. And Jesus has arrived and he's saying, yo, just give me your hand. Just give me your hand. Just give me your hand. He's, and I know my little brother, he was like, yo, I'm super confident. I can make it out of this because he's hard-headed. He's just not right. He had his confidence was misplaced. And there's so many people in this room that you're drowning and you're saying, I can pull myself out of this. Why? Like, why? Like, Jesus is literally on, he's safe. He's standing there. He's like, yo, take my hand. Take my hand. For some people, you know, if you fall overboard in the military, they throw you a rope with a buoy on it. They throw you a rope with a buoy on it. You got to grab that rope. Jesus tonight is saying, I don't want you guys to struggle anymore. I don't want you guys to continue to get pummeled with the waves of life, pummeled with debt, pummeled with dysfunction, pummeled with injury. He's saying, I got a better life for you, but listen, I'm gonna need you to take a little bit. I'm gonna need you to meet me halfway. Like, I need you to meet me halfway. He's got his arm out, he's waiting, but I need you to meet me halfway. And so tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, tonight there's people in this room. There's people in this room and you're struggling right now. You're struggling right now and you've got, your confidence is misplaced. Your confidence is misplaced. Because you can get through what you're doing right now a whole lot faster if you'll just reach out to Jesus. Just reach out to Jesus and take his hand. So tonight, if you feel like you're struggling right now, if you feel like, hey, you're overwhelmed, if you feel like the storms of life are just crippling your very existence, I need you to just raise your hand.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.